Okay, good evening. Parimi here, sitting on the sofa in the women's community of Adistana. And I'm sitting with two friends. I'm sitting with...
Kula Dharani.
And Akasa Jyoti.
So Akasa Jyoti, who lives here at Adistana, and Kula Dharani, who lives in Glasgow. We've just come to the end of the first day of the Women's International Convention, the first full day. Last night we had an introduction, but today's been the first full day of the programme. So each day this week, we're dedicating to a particular figure, a particular Buddha or Bodhisattva. And today has been dedicated to...
Shakyamuni.
Shakyamuni Buddha. So we've had a talk this morning from Dharmacharini Anagarika Kula Dharani herself.
Oh, my full time.
Sitting here beside me. And then we had a practice led through by Nagashuri, which was recorded. Mm-hmm. And then we've just finished a puja. So, how's the day been?
It's been a beautiful day. But I just arrived and it was all about the talk. So yeah. I'm just now arriving at the retreat going, oh, this is lovely. Isn't that a lovely, lovely shrine tent that we've got in? Isn't the shrine lovely? And, well, there's lots of lovely people here, but I didn't notice any of that before 10:30 this morning.
Because you were giving your talk.
Yes, and I'm still finishing off.
Certainly got very good feedback.
Yeah.
And I've heard quite a lot of people saying how moved they were, how somebody said she'd been sobbing. Mm-hmm. In a good way.
It was so bad, they started
to cry. I thought
I'd
better check. And somebody else said to me, she said, oh, that was a really challenging talk. I'm really stirred up. And I said, in a good way. And she said, oh, yeah, it's fantastic. I feel more alive than I felt for ages.
Oh,
so
well, that's really, really lovely. I really appreciate it's good, that. That's lovely.
But you, Akasa Jyoti, how have you found the day?
Well, I've just come back from the combined convention a couple of days ago. Many of us seem to be quite exhausted after that. So just landing back. I think a highlight of my day has been sitting with about 10 of the Indian Dharmacharinis for dinner on the grass just outside the dining room. And most of them didn't speak English and I don't speak Hindi. But somehow we managed to connect. It was very lovely.
Do you have any comments on the talk, Akasa Jyoti?
I think I was struck at the beginning by your dream that you'd had and how long it had taken you to realise what that meant. Will you tell that story again?
Oh,
because
that was really lovely. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to show how absolutely, bloody minded I can be and how I can ignore the things in front of me. And in the lead up to my ordination retreat, I think it was a repetitive dream, my memory of it is it was a repetitive dream, and the dream was I was in the salt market in Glasgow, which is a place where lots of secondhand stalls used to be, and I was looking for blue clothes to take on the ordination retreat, and I was in the secondhand clothes shop just scanning through trying to get blue clothes, and the shops kept changing as I was there, and I was standing there, and they were transforming into sort of these shishi boutiques that were selling gold lamé gowns. And I was completely furious. I just kept saying, but what, this is going to be no good. What use is a gold gown for me up a mountain? And I woke up from that dream still irritated and carried on looking for my blue clothes. I mean, I just thought it was such a stupid dream. And, you know, I can get it. And it was months later, I came back off the tree and realised what the dream was about. I mean, it was a month after I come back with the tree. But my friends all knew. So they were busy making me gold kesa bags and a gold mala. And I wondered how they knew. And I'm going, that was amazing. And they went, gold? No? You know what I mean? So, yeah.
So the golden
slow.
Buddha.
Yeah, so I'm a bit slow. And the Buddha has been, bless him, trying to communicate with me. And I'm a bit dense about listening, you know.
So a slightly different but maybe related question is, there's another feature of gold in your spiritual practice, in that you're an Anagarika.
Yeah.
Which means that as well, you can tell us what it means. What does it mean?
Oh, good question. It means I've taken an extra practice of chastity, homelessness and careerlessness. And for me it's a very profound expression of what's been happening in my practice. And it's that to come from the inside out. So it feels like a real point of freedom.
And I'm interested because I know that it's connected with your practice with Shakyamuni Buddha, isn't it?
Yeah, I wonder how though. I suppose it's the witnessing of the experience. And at one point in the last few years, I saw through my own romantic myth. I really saw through it. But at the time, I didn't know that's what I'd seen through. It's another one of these bloody mindedness. I knew something had happened, but I didn't quite know. I saw it and let it go. And I remember just sitting in the middle of the night, you know, in the sun, in the summer, it was warm and wet, and just my heart breaking open and recognising that, you know, all griefs faithfully observed turn towards love. And I just felt love where I should have felt annoyance, irritation, maybe even hatred, and I didn't feel it anymore.
Just say that sentence again.
It came to me in that yeah, moment. All griefs faithfully observed turn towards love.
That's really lovely.
And it stayed with me, and since then it's rolled out.
I've got a memory as well, actually, from a conversation which I think is probably connected. Well, you probably use this image in talks about the Buddha, but we've talked about it, which is the bowl.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So that's, I would have thought, very connected with becoming an Anagarika.
Yes, the empty bowl. It's a very simple holding. And, well, the bowl was one of my first practices, I suppose, and I don't think of it as a practice anymore, I just think about it as life. That I eat in a very specific way as part of my own ongoing mental and physical recovery from addictions. So, that bowl practice has been consistent for 15 years. And it's just like, you know, I don't take anything that anybody puts in it, but I have a very, very straightforward relationship with that.
Also, my memory from talking to you or hearing you in talks, or both probably, was that the bowl was very much to do with renunciation.
Letting go.
Yes. So letting go and renunciation seemed to me to be very intimately connected with
the Anagarika.
Yeah, and becoming an Anagarika.
Yeah, I'm not being very good as an interviewee.
In fact, I'm just doing it for you.
No, you can do that, but that's great.
Anyway, I think the bowl and the Anagarika, I was just trying to get back to that gold, that image of gold, and how that was connected with Shakyamuni. And we've got, it felt there was quite a golden sense in the shrine room, I thought.
Oh, it was beautiful. The puja was utterly beautiful. Yeah. And the sadhana practice by Nagasuri is just lovely, lovely. Yeah. Do I think she could read out a shopping list and I would be moved by it? Because she's got such a beautiful sensibility. And honestly, I think the Buddha sensibility inhabits everything she does and says from the way that she moves to the way that she speaks. So literally she could... She could read out a shopping list and I would still be spiritually moved by it, but fortunately she didn't. And it was absolutely, the images she gave us were incredible, really, really moving.
So, and I had another highlight today which was quite different, not connected at all to the programme, but it's connected to Akasa Jyoti actually. So she and I were having a wee chat at lunchtime. And we were talking a bit about having been in the combined convention, and you were telling me about the meeting that you'd had with the under-40s Sangha, the young Sangha. I wonder if you'd just say a wee bit about it, because I found it so inspiring when we were chatting today.
Well, there were 41 of us who
that
were
was inspiring
40
for
or under, yeah. And there were maybe 6 of us who were ordained this year.
Fantastic.
My favourite bit of that was reflecting on Naga Bodhi's talk together. Naga Bodhi's talk and Pranyaketu's talk, and particularly a view that Pranyaketu voiced, kind of unearthed, that says that the order's in decline, the order's ageing, it's going to die out. We need young people to save that. And he was just saying that isn't a very inspiring vision of an order
to
join.
It's not, is it? No.
Which I thought was great, to just kind of expose that view. And I mean, he was saying that it's not just a change in PR, it's not just a change in needing to communicate the order differently. It's a wrong view, actually. The order is thriving, and we have substantial myths to offer the world that they can participate in. Myths of the golden light, myths of the golden Buddha, maybe. So as a group of young order members, we were just talking about our responses to that. And I just felt it was a really effective conversation, actually. And one thing that struck me was that we weren't talking about youth at all. We weren't talking about being young. We were just talking about vision. And particularly how the vision, well, Bante's vision of the three C's, communities, co-ops and centres, was still really alive for us. But we're not engaging in those things for their own sake. We were talking about how we're just seeking out context for intense spiritual friendship, really, intense engagement with our spiritual lives. I really enjoyed that conversation a lot. There's a kind of depth, there's a depth and engagement there, and it was just inspiring.
I think that's what I found inspiring when you were saying, you know, it's like that's still alive for people. And I think I've been thinking for quite a long time about the three C's and how you revision them. And I think the really important thing is to get to the principles behind them and then find strategies that give space for those principles. So I think there's, you know, good work we can do on that at the moment. It's the shift in paradigms, aren't there? But somewhere at the heart of that, as Cassajoti says, was creating conditions for intensive spiritual friendship and intensive spiritual... Something about just being in this together. Really living it together. Whether we live next door to each other or in another city or whatever, but just really living this together. You are my life and I am your life. You know?
Well, I think there's also a sense in which that early idealism... you know, launched the movement, got it going energetically, and then foundered in the long term, you know, and in Glasgow particularly, the community started to founder for different reasons, and they wouldn't, none of them will have the same reasons. But there's almost a maturing happened as a result, a sort of spiritual maturing and less expectation on each other and a lot more realism about who we are as humans and our shadow side and our strengths and our shadow sides as well, and how we can work with each other. With with less stress on it to try and do it. And I think that's what I'm interested in. How can we, if somebody says falling into it, falling into insight, falling into community life, which...
I think there's something about a mature idealism that's what will take things forward as well, isn't it? So not a maturity that blocks innovation or blocks emergence. But that whatever emerges can emerge into a mature community, can be held by that mature community. I think we're at a really exciting moment, actually.
Me too.
I think the order's flourishing and I'm really pleased to be seeing that. And just to finish, because we have chatted for a wee while in our evening conversation on the sofa, just what you're saying just now brings me back to your talk this morning, actually, because... that idealism showing through in that talk, and I really enjoyed it. I loved it. I thought it was, it was inspiring and moving, and really recommend that people listen to it. And I think there was something about, it was very uncompromising, I think. You know, you were just saying very much what, it was very personal in a way, what your practice is for you. But there was also, I felt, quite a rally call, quite a challenge, not in a big, heavy way, but there was definitely a challenge to, well, what are we doing? You know, how are we practicing within this this world that we live in just now? So thank you for the talk. Thank you for having this chat this evening. It's just lovely to chat to both of you. So any last wee...
Well, I just want to thank you, Pioneer, for rescuing the talk I didn't give yesterday, which I'm really pleased about. I didn't give, and allowing me to... It's something about when a friend just looks at it and goes, really? And then helps you just get back onto stream, which is really great. So if it was a great talk, it was a great talk helped by you, and I was really pleased that you'd done that. Just like, oh, that's so good to have friends that go, that'll tell you, go, maybe not, try that. So thank you for that,
Any last wee words from you, Cassajoti? Good night.
Good night.
Good night from me, and it's good night from you.